from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Kinda. It's partly the producers. That's what we're rocking with this week. That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. James Hamm on assignment. So he will not be in this week. Jesse's going to hang out with me basically all week, and then Matt George will be in on Friday to talk about the NBA draft, NBA draft week. Of course, we're not going to talk about the NBA draft today.
Yeah, FYI.
We'll get into it a little.
Yeah.
But we'll do that more tomorrow and then Wednesday. Speaking of Wednesday, that's day one of the NBA draft. We are going to be out at Tom's Watch Bar. I'll be there. Jesse will be there. D-Lo, KC. It's right there across from the Golden 1 Center, so come hang out for the first round of the NBA draft. We'll get started at 5, we'll have a little bit of intro, and then we're going to be right there next to the Kings facility. So if we're loud enough, maybe they'll take into account what we're trying to tell them.
They're awesome. They're good draft guys here.
Yeah. Dude, we love the draft. We love hockey. We'll be talking a ton of hockey today for sure. I try not to complain too much about this job, right? Because it's like it's silly that this is what we get paid to do.
It's all right. It's Monday. If there's any day to do it, it's today.
Yeah, no, for sure. Thank you. So, and again, I'm not complaining about work because this is not, like I said, this is not work to me. But nobody tells you that when you're younger, nobody ever tells you that your weekends just kind of start to slowly go away where you don't really get a weekend anymore.
The weekend is just basically now like, hey, I have 2 days to do the stuff I couldn't do during the week.
Yes. 1,000%. Except there's a bunch of stuff you can't do on Sunday because so many places are closed on Sundays. And so, like, we got our backyard done. And it's been great. It's been amazing. I would do it 100 times out of 100.
Not complaining.
But with that comes, like, hey, there's landscaping that you then have to do. Oh, we want to put a shed up. Okay, so now we got to buy a shed, and then we got to build a shed. And then, okay, we got to put stuff in the shed. And then it turns out that your 2-day weekend is now gone. I feel like I didn't do it. I feel like my entire weekend was taken up, and then I have my writing job. So I'm writing on the weekends. So I get up, I do that, and then I'm working out. It's like now it's Monday, and it's like, oh, thank God the weekend's over, because now I get to chill.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I got to hit you with it. Like, that's live, Kyle.
Dude, I hate it.
There's nothing we can do about it. Yeah, we lost. It's over. I saw a tweet the other day. It's like, yeah, summer after high school, it sucks, because it's like, it's just not the same. We're adults now.
Yo, okay, so the summer after high school, my buddy Kyle Quinn. One of the homies still is. He got a football scholarship to play football at the University of Arizona. Still lives down there, has a family down there, is doing great. And I graduated high school and was like, this is awesome. This is amazing. I have nothing to do. I'm just cruising around my hometown. Like, everything's good because I didn't have to go move up to the dorms at Sac State until like the end of August. So I had so much time to just screw around.
Yeah, it was a big chill.
And that's what I thought life was going to be. I was just like, hey, man, we're vibing, we're chilling. So Kyle Quinn and I go out to lunch one day, and he drove, and he pulls me out to my house, and he goes, all right, buddy, it's been fun. And that was when it hit me, like, oh, because he had to get down and start prepping for football and stuff. It's like, oh, this is life. Like, oh, my God, we're not going to. We see each other from time to time, but like I say, he's got life going on. He lives down in Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, I hit my buddies with the hey, till next time,
dude. We don't hang out anymore. It's like that's tough, bro. Nobody tells
you. They
don't
prepare
you
for
this
either. Nobody tells you when you're in fifth grade. Hey, Jess, your little buddy here. You're not gonna know him in 10 years.
Yeah, this guy, you're not. And it helps with Facebook a little bit because you get to like stay in touch with people, or Facebook or Instagram or whatever social media you like to use. Maybe you're a MySpace person. I don't know. But you can stay in touch with people better than you used to be able to. But it's still, I know that people say, like, when you're a kid, hey, enjoy it. These are the best days of your life. Like, you got to enjoy it. But there's no way to grasp that as a child.
Yeah, I'm 7. Like, what are you talking about, Mom?
There's no way to grasp. Even in high school, though, people are like, these are the best years of your life. And I loved high school. Like, I had a pretty good high school experience, all things considered. Or not all things considered, but like relative to some other people I know who just had like nightmare high school experiences, and that's fine. You didn't like it. I miss it so bad, and all I wanted was to be like, hey, I want to be able to just do whatever I want. I don't want to worry about going to class. I don't want to worry about going to bed or like doing chores around the house. And now it's just your entire life. And I remember my parents being like, hey, you have nothing going on. You should be enjoying this way more than you are.
Yeah, I mean, we did like pick the closest career to that, though, like being in radio.
Yeah, and that's why I try not to complain too much, because now we're here. Yeah. We get to talk about Game 7, Edmonton at Florida tonight.
Pucks on net, everybody.
Dude,
pucks on net.
We are big hockey guys controlling the neutral zone. You have to do that.
No icing.
No.
Draisaitl, we need a lot out of you today. A
lot of Draisaitl today. No, I don't know. Okay, so look, we're obviously not hockey guys. But if you tell me Game 7 in any round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, I'm in.
Yeah, especially after
I'm locking in
on Florida being up 3-0. Like, this is just bigger. This is sports right here.
Yes. And that's why I saw Ramsey in the chat saying he wants the Stanley Cup to stay in the U.S. So he's rooting for Florida.
Yeah.
God, that's fine. My buddy Dave Barry is a huge Florida Panthers fan. I would love to see the Panthers win for him. But on the other hand, I don't know any other Florida Panthers fans. I don't know any. I'm not deep enough into Sharks fandom. Like, if you told me who's your favorite hockey team, it's like Sharks. It's easy. It's light work. It's not even a question.
Yeah.
But I'm not so deep in it that I'm gonna like have the rivalry of the
you
Edmonton.
Hate Vegas or you hate the Kings or something like that.
Yeah, I hate all those teams for sure. Mm. Like Vegas, I'm out. The Los Angeles Kings, I'm out. The Anaheim Ducks, I'm out. But like the Oilers, like I don't care that much. So I need the 3-0 comeback to happen.
Yeah, I feel like if Edmonton won, that'd be pretty sick. Especially like Ramsey said, like, oh, I wanted the trophy to stay in the U.S. Like,
in
fact, like, yeah, the Canada getting all hype after winning it or whatever, that'd be pretty sick.
Especially after being down 3. Yeah, wouldn't that be sick? Like, that's just...
And it's Connor McDavid, too, or whatever.
Love watching Connor McDavid.
Yeah, no, he's actually sick. I've seen him, like, at the SAP Center against the Sharks. He tore him up. It's insane.
I read when I was subscribed to Sports Illustrated, I read an article about him that just went into, like, all the minutia of what made him great and his ability to, like, keep the puck in this zone where, like, when he's skating, keeping the puck in this zone at full speed where, like, a defender can't see him and the puck and just how difficult that is to do. And I was just like, yeah, Connor McDavid's the man. So, like, I want to see him win one. And selfishly, like, I wish this was happening in a sport that more people liked.
What's the thing? Hockey is sick. They just don't know how to market it, I don't think.
Well, it's just, dude, it's...
like, going to a Sharks game is...
It's so much
fun. One of the funnest things ever.
Yeah, hockey in person is the greatest. But I don't have room.
I get that.
I can't. It's okay. So there's 30 more teams I gotta know.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's
it's new players, stats, all that stuff.
Yeah, and that's the thing is. So I went to a game with my buddy Mike, and Mike and his wife Hannah are big Sharks fans, and so we all went a little double date action down to the SAP Center, and he's explaining just. My like little details of the game, the same way I might sit there with somebody who's not a football fan and be like, okay, that's a shotgun.
Mm.
That's the safety is both playing out. That's too high. Like just little things like that. And he's explaining this to me. I'm like, dude, I realize I have no idea how hockey works.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of why it's so tough for me to get into, because I just don't, I know the energy is going to be nutty tonight for game 7. And that's what I'm there for.
Yeah. The puck's going this way. It's going that way or whatever. Like, yeah. we're just not in depth with it, and it's fine.
Just vibing.
We like sports. We like hockey. I'm not going to tell you about this little scheme or whatever.
Yeah. That's as much hockey talk as
we're all here for vibes.
That's it. The vibes in Edmonton were crazy the other night for game 6. That was awesome. So yeah, game 7 tonight, Edmonton and Florida. If you don't watch any hockey all year, watch this one tonight.
That'll be fire.
It's going to be a ton of fun. And like you said, just like there was a point during game 7 of the 2016 NBA Finals where I'm sitting there. And if you didn't know, if you're listening to this, I'm a Golden State Warriors fan. And I'm sitting there during game 7. And at one point, there was a commercial with like 3 minutes left or a couple minutes left. Not a lot of time left in the game. And I remember sitting there on my couch by myself in my apartment in Arizona, like, this is peak sports, dude. Like, this is incredible. What an awesome thing to get to experience. And it didn't go the way I wanted it to, obviously. That was devastating. But this tonight, this hockey game, and the reason we're even bringing it up is because it is, you're going to see peak sports tonight. If you like competition.
You think Twitter will be on this game?
Yeah, a little bit.
Everyone's tweeting about?
A little bit. Is there anything? I don't think there's anything else really going on tonight.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's any WNBA games going on or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't. So, I think this will capture the attention of the general internet populace. But if that's not you, like I said, if you're like, I don't watch any hockey, just tap in. You don't need to know anything. I don't.
It's game 7. That's all you need to know.
It's game 7. The intensity is going to be nuts. And I really can't wait. I'm super looking forward to that. We didn't get to talk a lot about the JJ Redick hire yet. What are the Lakers doing?
Lying to themselves, I think.
What do you mean?
Like, I think they have this idea where it's like, oh yeah, we got JJ Redick here. He's going to get with Bron and AD. Maybe we make a move here and we're going to be contenders. We're going to win, blah, blah, blah. You're a playing team right now. Like, I feel like anything, unless you make this massive move, like anything, any progression, you're 3-2 years away.
I think the worst thing that could have happened to the Lakers is them running into the Warriors a couple years ago.
In the playoffs,
where they got to where they got to the conference finals.
Yeah, I think
because they went, this is proof positive that the Bron AD thing works.
Yeah, we got to the conference finals. We got swept, but hey, we got here. Just let's build off of that.
Just got to surround them with the right pieces. And this year they go in, they're a play-in team, but hey, first round, bad matchup against Denver. Like, they can continue talking themselves into this thing where LeBron turns 40 in December, and like they're banking on another full healthy season of Anthony Davis. And then D'Angelo Russell is opting out. Okay, so maybe you get somebody else in there. Can you mix and match the right pieces? Like, dog, I don't know what
they'll figure it out on their own, I think.
They got to punt.
Honestly.
The right thing to do is punting on this.
Yeah, it's they're not winning a title in the next 3 years. However long LeBron is there, they're not winning a title.
No, and I think, you know, you can have beef with the JJ Redick hire and the fact that he has, like, no qualifications for the job outside of having played in the NBA. But I think he's a smart guy. I don't think they would have hired him if they didn't think that he could actually be a coach.
Yeah, he knows ball.
Yes, but why not? Why start him here? Why start him where the expectation is like, hey, if you don't win a title, you're going to be on the hot seat tomorrow.
That's the thing, because coaching like a LeBron James team is not just coaching a regular basketball team. There's so much more that comes into it.
It sounds impossible.
Yeah.
And now you're bringing a coach who A, has no experience coaching. Okay, he has LeBron's ear. Okay, I think LeBron genuinely respects him, like, as a coach and as a basketball mind and thinker. But what are the other players on that team going to do?
I guess he's kind of...
Why would you listen to JJ Redick?
You don't have a choice. Otherwise, you're going to get traded. you kind of just have to fall in line at this point. Like, this is what it is.
That sounds awful.
It's not
that
great. It's not great. It's not great. It's very dysfunctional, but it's how they run.
They're just a non-factor for me, dude.
That's pretty much it.
I just don't... Like, the JJ Redick hire was funny, just the whole... like, lead up to it, and the Shams and Woj, and then the Dan Hurley thing, and like, oh man, this is crazy, and like, there's a finals game happening, and then the finals game ends, and they're like, hey, but this coaching search, so it was all funny and stuff, but as we stand here now with JJ Redick hired as the Lakers coach, it's like, okay, for what?
Yeah.
For who? I don't know.
Good luck to them. Not really, but.
Yes. I don't think anyone's weeping over the Los Angeles Lakers. All right. We've got a ton of NBA offseason stuff to get to because there are some names bopping around the offseason chatter that I just don't know if they move the needle the way they do on the internet necessarily. We'll talk some NFL quarterback contracts. Jesse Tapia in the building, a Dolphins fan who
Pay Tua.
Wants him to pay Tua. There it is. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll have some King stuff for you as well with the draft coming up on Wednesday. That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. James Hamm out on assignment all week. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
We having a day, Kyle?
I actually have a button that doesn't have names on it, so I can just be like, I'm Kyle, that's Jesse Tapia filling in for James. Voice guy doesn't have to say James. Look, I have a literally right here.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle Madsen, that's Jesse Tapia, James Hamm on assignment.
Picking it up right there.
There we go.
We got all week to fix it.
We're making plays. I forget to turn my buttons on once a week.
Yeah, well,
they're on now, though.
Yeah, good stuff there. Now,
if you want to hang out with us on YouTube, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Leezy in the chatty house wants us to talk about Jonas Valanciunas. Here's how I would like to talk about Jonas Valanciunas, because it fits a little bit something else I wanted to bring up later in the show. The Hawks are apparently shopping Clint Capela. Nick Claxton from the Nets is an unrestricted free agent. All of these players are good centers who can help the Kings, I think, in various ways. I don't know how to talk about the center position with the Kings, because I get the idea of Jonas Valanciunas, right? He can step out. He can shoot it a little bit. Domas will step out and shoot it a little bit. But neither at some kind of rate where teams are like, oh, crap, got to scramble and go guard that guy on the perimeter.
What was that? It's like, how many minutes is that going to get? Like, we're not going to move Sabonis to the four, like maybe people suggest or anything like that. Like, we're not going to start Valanciunas, Capela, or anything. Like, he's going to come off the bench. They're going to play 10 to 15 minutes, and that's going to be it. Sabonis is going to get everything else.
Right. For that type of big, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if it's Kristaps Porzingis, like those two players can coexist because of where they operate with on the floor, right? Yeah. And Kristaps can protect the rim, and okay, now you're cooking a little bit. But like Clint Capela is not that type of player. I don't think Nick Claxton is that type of player. Valanciunas maybe a little bit, because like I said, I know he shoots it from beyond the arc.
But we're not going to be sitting with Valanciunas in the perimeter.
Right,
the whole time.
That defeats the whole purpose of having him stand in the corner. So I don't know. I'm of the mind that if you go get a player like Valanciunas or Clint Capela or whoever, I get it, and I rock with the vision. I like the idea. But to me, all of this comes back to something we've talked about before on this show is, okay, that's great. Well, Domas, when he does his little dribble handoff thing, now needs to get on the perimeter and be a threat from there and force defenses to stretch out a little bit. If he's going to catch it on the perimeter and shoot it maybe once a game, maybe twice a game.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
It's not going to be enough.
They aren't going to guard that.
If Jonas Valanciunas is your backup center instead of Alex Len, okay, great. That's an upgrade. But A, I don't know if Valanciunas wants that role. B, I don't know if he's going to cost too much for that role.
You're almost not even maximizing what you can get from a guy like Valanciunas too. Like, you're kind of just limiting him. Like, Valanciunas is a good player and all that, but if you're only putting him out there for 10, 15 minutes and he's not really like playing to his true capabilities, like, what did you even sign him for? Like, we can get away with Alex Len here for these minutes if we need to.
Yeah, that's kind of, and again, I am an advocate of the Kings this offseason, upgrading the roster. However, just get better players on the roster. That is, I think that ideally that would be wings, you know, athletic wings that can knock down a corner three. But every team is looking for those guys. But the Kings, like, their lack of size really, really hurt them last year. So to me, priority one, even above that, that was like, dude, just get good players in the building and work it out from there. Mike Brown is a good coach. That's a good coaching staff. I think Monty McNair is a smart GM. Whoever they bring in, they can figure out a way to piece it all together. But I'm not looking at Jonas Valanciunas or the center market just in general and saying, hey, the Kings need to kick down the door to get one of these guys.
Those are just moves to me, too. Like,
what do you mean?
We got Valanciunas here. Like, we're not, like, I'm not going, oh, we're winning, the Kings are winning 50 games now or anything like that. Like, it's not like you're bringing in a player on the wing or anything like that. I think that could have more of an impact. Like, if you bring in a center, that's fine, but it's like, it's just a move.
Yeah, and that's where I get it, because he's better than what they have. is better than Alex Len. But it would require, and this is where it's not that I'm anti Valanciunas. It's just, hey, this requires a little bit different look from either him or Domas when it comes to how they operate offensively. And again, maybe Mike Brown would work it out where when they're on the court together, the spacing is good enough that both of those players can operate. And if they're on the floor together and they can figure it out offensively, there's going to be A, Valanciunas a little bit better rim protector than Domas. B, you're not going to lose a ton of rebounds when they're on the floor together. This isn't even Valanciunas specific.
Yeah.
It's just any center who's not stretching the floor.
Yeah. Well, because with Valanciunas, there's also the thing, like, maybe it, like, we don't even know if it would work. And say it doesn't, like, all right, well, that move failed.
Sure. I think that's kind of the case with anyone, though. Like, there's an inherent risk kind of involved.
Yeah, but, like, even, like, you have to, like, work around to, like, get Valanciunas to fit here. It's not like you're bringing in, like, a Kyle Kuzma type we bring it, like, where he just fits A, B, and C for the Kings or whatever. Yeah. Like, he's seamless. Like, you kind of have to work around to get Valanciunas. And it's like, in hindsight, it's like, we look back and it's like, we knew it maybe wasn't going to work, too. Like, there was, like, some cons to it instead of, like, all these pros.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm... If they go get Jonas Valanciunas or Nick Claxton or Clint Capella at whatever price, okay. I think Capella, if the Hawks trade him, I think he's going to have a little bit more of a market than the Kings would want to go try and pay for. But when it comes to the center position, just in general, I'm okay.
Yeah.
It's fine, but I would way rather see them put effort or dollars into going and getting Brandon Ingram and extending him.
Yeah, I think that's
or going and getting Kyle Kuzma. Like, those are players who I think move the needle way more than a backup center.
Yeah, well, yeah, because I think, like I said, I think you can get away with Alex Len playing backup center, you'll be just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you're getting a way different version of Domas, in which case this conversation changes completely.
Yeah, so.
And if Domantas Sabonis is at a point where he's shooting 4 or 5 threes a game and making them at a 36% clip enough that teams have to guard it, okay, great. Then let's have that conversation. But until I see that, and this is the same thing, this is where I'm at with Keegan Murray too. Until I see that Keegan's going to be that, like, hey, I'm going to go create. The offense is bogged down. Give me the ball. I'm going to go create. I'm just not going to bank on him to be that.
Yeah, that's fair.
And maybe he will be. This is not to say he won't or can't. I think he can. But I can't. If you're the Kings, you can't operate this offseason, like, oh, hey, well, Keegan's going to be that guy for sure. So, because you don't know.
Yeah,
because,
I mean, you do have to do your service to, like, De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, make sure that, like, those guys are able to take you as far as they can. Like, if Keegan's just not there yet, he's not there yet. But, like, you can't just wait.
Right. And that's where, until I see that Domantas Sabonis is going to become the type of player who will or can shoot it beyond the arc at a higher rate than he currently does. I say 4 to 5 a game, but pick a number.
Yeah.
That just feels right to me.
Sounds so fine.
Until he shows that he can do that or is willing to do that or the Kings are willing to have him do that. And the downside to that is, okay, now you're pulling the league's best rebounder away from the basket. It just doesn't. So
no, it doesn't
so
work.
That's where the. Okay, so maybe it's Valanciunas is the guy who's shooting it 4 or 5 times a game. But is that the best player you could get for that spot then?
Yeah.
That's where I land on Valanciunas. If they get him, I wouldn't be like upset. I wouldn't say this is a bad move or anything like that. That can't be the big splash.
Definitely that not. Just if it is, then it's kind of like, all right, what are we doing?
Yeah. So that's where that lands for me. And I'm out on Clint Capella, by the way.
Same.
I have him down here. We'll talk about the Hawks a little bit.
Honestly, if you're center and you can't shoot the 3-ball, I'm kind of out on you.
That's it, dude.
Yeah.
If you can't shoot it at all, I don't.
There were the times, bro.
Yeah, I know that the league, and this is one of those weird like things in sports, right? Like you see it in football. Offenses have gotten so much like smaller and faster that to spread defenses out that you're now seeing defenses get smaller and faster to kind of try and match that speed. But then you're going to see offenses, and I think this is part of what has made the 49ers successful, is you see offenses, okay, they're going to start to get a little bit bigger to take advantage of the smaller defenders, and there's that ebb and flow. And I think you're seeing that a little bit in the NBA right now, where small ball was so the thing for like a 5-year stretch that now all of a sudden you're seeing bigger players with greater skill sets, where I think size is going to become more of a thing in the NBA again.
Yeah.
Size has always been a thing in the NBA, but I think now you're getting players with size who match that like small ball skill set where you can't go like, yeah, Draymond Green's going to be the center and we're just going to run everybody off the court because now there's going to be players who can negate that advantage.
Yeah. I mean, especially for a team like the Kings, you have to be able to shoot the three ball if you're going to play around Sabonis and all that.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, yeah.
Learn how to shoot threes, kids.
Yeah. May not. Yeah. Sensible ones, though.
Yeah.
Don't just chuck it from half court.
We can't be Trae Young. Yeah, that's fact. No. You can't be Trae Young and Steph. Don't be that, but learn how to shoot the three ball.
Knock down a corner three, play good defense. You'll be in the NBA.
Be a Sam Hauser.
Yeah.
Give me that one. Come on.
Sure.
Give me that one.
No. You know what? No. I'll give it to you. You know what? No. That's world champion Jesse Tapper,
right.
Taffanen. Sam Hauser. Hey, Sam Hauser plays some good defense.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't. There's no center that moves the needle for me with the Kings based on what.
Yeah, this is not what I'm looking at this offseason. No. Like you said, look at the Kuzmas, look at the Ingrams, or even any other wing player that could fit there. Because I think that's where you get more of your impact for the, as far as if you want to add wins or anything like that.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, plenty more Kings talk, plenty more NBA offseason stuff coming up. That's Jesse Tapia filling in for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Four.
I think I take down three glizzies.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
It's a tough drop right there.
Yeah, it's a tough go for our guy, Leezy. That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. James Hamm out on assignment. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 if you want to join the show. Also, if you want to join the show, you can come hang out with us at Tom's Watch Bar in Doko across from Golden 1 Center for the first round of the NBA Draft. We'll be out there about 5 o'clock, hanging out, having some food, having some drinks, and we will have microphones and speakers, and we'll be talking about the draft with you, whether the Kings are making a pick, whether they're trading the pick. The fact that I can't decide if the fact that the Kings have not, I read through every trade rumor post this morning, and there's no Kings in there, save for a mention about the Bulls front office being big fans of Kevin Huerter. But in that same post, that was in reference to the Kings now being out on Zach LaVine after Alex Caruso was moved.
I wouldn't stress, I don't even know if that's the right word, stress too much about them not being in the rumors right now.
No, and that's what it's not stress. It's not, because I am a big proponent, big opponent of like winning the offseason. I think winning the offseason is the most overrated thing.
That's the kiss of death right there. If you get hit with the, you won the offseason, especially in the NFL too. If you get hit with the, they won the offseason, you're cooked.
Every time. Not a single person, not a single team has ever been like, wow, winners of the offseason, and then won the Super Bowl.
Shout out to that Eagles team with Vince Young and them.
Tough. Yeah. Really tough. Shout out to the Eagles last year who got the two Georgia guys in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's like, wow, they're not going to give up any points. They're not going to give up any points all year.
That was a fun night on Twitter.
And that's not to say they pick bad players. It's not to drag the Eagles or anything. But then look what happened. Like, winning the offseason means nothing. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I don't care whether the Kings are involved in rumors or not. They could be involved in every Paul George, LeBron, who like pick your Brandon Ingram, Jimmy Butler, they could be involved in every single one of those, and if they don't land the players, then it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
So I don't care that they're not involved. I just can't decide if the lack of notes on the Kings should have me leaning toward, oh yeah, hey, this pick that we thought all year they were going to trade, yeah, they're just going to use it. They're just going to go get a 19 or 20-year-old that they think they can plug in, who's going to be the ninth guy in their rotation, and they feel good about the depth addition.
I will say, I think Monty said in his office, I think he's actively trying to, I don't, like, I'm a producer, I'm not purporting anything or whatever, but I do think he's trying to trade that pick. Like, I think he sees like what they were last season and all that. Like, I think he's actively trying to trade it.
Yeah,
and if they end up, like, if the deal doesn't work out, then yeah, you use the pick. But I doubt, like, the first thing they want to do is keep that pick right now.
No, I don't think they want to either. I just don't know if it's like, oh man, it's all quiet on the Kings front. They must have something really brewing.
Yeah.
Or is it, hey, it's quiet on the Kings front because there's no deals happening. Mm. I can't decide.
Yeah. We'll see you on Wednesday, folks.
I was trying to like parse through all the other rumors and try and like connect dots and read between them. I got nothing.
Yeah.
I have nothing for it.
Like, you see the Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes, like, could be available and all, but it's not really
they
anything
are.
Other than
like,
that. Yeah, it's nothing that we don't know already.
Yeah, and that's what everything's been. I was happy to see that Hoops Hype reported that the Kings are out on Zach LaVine now, because Alex Caruso is not going to be involved.
The whole Zach LaVine thing, now that we're done and past it, that was terrifying to me.
It was really bad.
Like,
we thought,
maybe it could be like, maybe Zach LaVine just kind of like, yeah, like, plan D is there if we need it, but...
So, I think that this is a funny NBA rumor mill thing. Because Matt Moore, who was on our show, go check it out on YouTube, is a really good, really good chat with Matt Moore from the Action Network. But he originally wrote in an offseason notebook that the Kings and Bulls had talks about Zach LaVine and Alex Caruso. And on our show, he basically said, like, yeah, they had those talks at the deadline. Sometimes those talks rekindle, you know, it's nothing like, oh yeah, they were deep in these. But because of that post that then got aggregated, anybody who wrote about Zach LaVine was like, the Kings are the presumed favorites.
I'm not gonna lie, I read the post too, that after got aggravated, hey, like, looks like the Kings might be getting Zach LaVine.
That's
fellas.
But I think everything stemmed off of Matt Moore's report.
Yeah.
I don't think there was ever like other smoke, because people were like, oh, there's smoke out there. It's clear Jake Fisher in Yahoo, who does a fine job, he didn't say league sources said. He just said, it appears the Kings are Zach. Yeah, no, he's going off of what Matt Moore wrote. Yeah. So I just, that whole cycle, I never got to the point that I was like, oh man, because nobody substantial ever put like, oh yeah, the Kings and Zach and the Bulls are in deep talks about Zach LaVine. So it never got, but it was still the fact that it was out there in the first place definitely made me a little bit concerned.
See, I was always concerned about the fact, oh, if Malik's not here, Kings are going to kind of be on red alert. Might be a panic move or something like that. That's how I always saw it.
Hmm.
Because you lose Malik, yeah, you're so far behind after that. And you almost have to do something.
I know we did a whole Malik Monk show the other day. But, dude, I don't think it can be understated how much that move means. Like, just from a pure team-building standpoint.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Because we're sitting here today like, yeah, hey, backup centers, they need wings for sure. Like, everybody knows they need guys who are 6'8 and taller who can play defense and knock down a corner. Everybody knows that. They need size. They need athleticism. That was so clear last year. Everything James and I had talked about on the show, everything you guys talked about on D'Lo and KC, everything kind of circled back to, God, the Kings could really use more size and athleticism on the wings. They just need better wing depth. And I think that's still the case. But if you then remove Malik Monk from the equation, where now all of a sudden, yeah, hey, they need all this wing depth. Oh, hey, and also, they have to figure out their six-man situation.
Need a leader as well.
They need a leader. This guy was getting 15 and 5 off the bench. You got to make up that production. And also, you got to figure out who the team's going to turn to now as the new leader of the team. That would have been a disaster.
Well, yeah, think about like all the impact he's had and like as productive as he's been only 2 years. And then just the fact that they could have, they didn't obviously or whatever, but like the fact that they could have been gone after 2 years was insane. But they kept him here. We're good.
I was stunned, dude.
I was too. I'm not going to lie, I was too. That was crazy. I was back from walking the dog or whatever. I was kind of scrolling Twitter or whatever and got to the top or whatever. My dad calls me, hey, you see the Kings signed Malik Monk? And my mind was like, there's no chance he signed this early or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Like, you got Chatty House. Like, they didn't sign. Like, there's no way. So I checked Twitter. Like, oh, what? He did. Yeah. I was shocked.
Well, I had heard from the station, basically, that like, yeah, hey, that offer's out there from Malik.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary hours right now. And then the next thing I get is the Woj tweet where the first thing I see is Malik's picture. And I'm like, oh, no. Mm-hmm. This is bad news. And you read it, it's like, wait, what is this? I click the profile, like making sure I'm not getting chatty assed. And I'm like, is it? And sure enough, man, crazy.
Shout out Malik Monk.
Shout out to Malik.
You don't know what you did for the Kings. But you don't know what you did for these shows, too.
Yeah, no idea. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you want to join the program, Don, you're on with Kyle and Jesse. What's up?
Hey, this is Don. I'm Dabo's cousin, by the way. Happy Malik Day. Happy Malik Monday.
Malik Monday, sure.
Malik Monday is great. We got the draft coming up on Wednesday. Be there at Tom's Watch Bar. I've been talking about it for weeks and everything like that. What would you guys say is going to be best case scenario Wednesday night, draft's over? What would be the Kings' best case scenario in your guys' opinion?
That's a great question. Thanks, Don. Zabo's cousin pulling up. Love to see it.
Zabo's a good guy. Does a lot of good stuff on social media.
Boy, does he. Yeah. When Zabo's in my mentions, I'm like, oh no. What'd I say? What happened?
He's gotten everyone so far.
I know. I know it. Shout out to Zabo. Shout out to the chatty house. Yeah, best case scenario. That's a good question. I think best case scenario is they've traded their pick for Brandon Ingram.
Okay, I got a name, but I'm going to go Kyle Kuzma.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Kyle Kuzma. I like Ingram, but I love Kuzma's contract more.
You know what? And I'm with you. Go ahead.
Join the club. Yeah, yeah. I think for like, I don't think there's much of a drop off with their production stuff like that. I think Kuzma will come in and be just as fine as Ingram and all that. Like I said, the contract is just as good, and you're not gonna have to give up much for Kuzma. I don't think
that's
like Washington's gonna be looking for expiring contracts, just stuff, just not trash, but you know, just stuff that they can rebuild with, but just kind of using their restart.
Yeah, yeah, and that's I think why I'm on board with you. In my mind, Brandon Ingram is better than Kyle Kuzma, and I think in a vacuum he is. I think he's a better player.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that. He's got more of a ceiling, I think.
Yeah,
a higher ceiling.
Yeah, for sure. But I think with Kuzma, with where you're slotting him in, he's been more durable, more available. He's cheaper just contract wise. I think he'd be cheaper to acquire. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have to max him out the way you would Brandon Ingram next year. So I think overall, man,
Well, because I don't think Kuzma, I don't think that deal is like the 13th pick, HB and Herder for Kuzma. Like, I think you can get away with the 13th pick and Herder if you want, or like the 13th pick and some expiring contracts. Like, you could imagine you get Kuzma here and you got HB coming off the bench. Like, Harrison Barnes wasn't great starting for the Kings last year, but I think if you 10-12 off the bench with Malik, like, you're solid.
I don't know what his market is going to be.
Harrison's?
No, Kuzma's? Yeah, I don't know if the Kings, like Brandon Ingram. A Brandon Ingram deal, and James has laid this out before. The Pelicans are moving Brandon Ingram because they want an upgrade next to Zion.
Uh-huh.
All due respect to the players the Kings have, none of them are an upgrade over over Brandon. None of the players that they'd be willing to give up in a trade.
You probably need a third team or something like that.
Right, and so that's where James has looped in like the Hawks and made it a Trae Young swap where Trae Young goes to New Orleans, Brandon Ingram goes to Sacramento, and then a bunch of assets from both teams go to the Hawks. Which, like, makes sense, but I think if they got involved in the Brandon Ingram market, I think you're competing with every team in the league is going to be out there trying to go get Brandon Ingram too.
Yeah, because Brandon Ingram can help pretty much anyone in the league right now.
Yeah, man, he's going to get 20 a night. He's 6'9", 6'10". He gets his shot, but again, there's a durability factor. Mm. I was talking about this with D'Lo and KC the other day. And again, this is eye test. I'm sure that there are, I don't watch like 50 Brandon Ingram games a year. Let that be very clear. I watch a handful. And I'm sure there are advanced metrics that would tell me this is wrong. And that's fine. I'm open to that. But my just gut feeling right now today is that, dude, I am always underwhelmed by Brandon Ingram. Every time I watch him, like, man, hey, this is a guy that's supposed to give you like 30 or 40. Like, this is going to be crazy. And then he's like, 19.
He's got the tools and the potential, but maybe, like I mentioned, he's got a higher ceiling than Kuzma. Maybe it's a glass ceiling, though.
Is it dude, Kyle Kuzma went 22-6.5-4 last year. It's not like he stinks.
Well, I'm not saying,
I don't know. And I don't know where along the line it reached a point that Kyle Kuzma like isn't good.
I think it's the Lakers thing and the whole fashion thing. I think honestly that's it and stuff like that. I don't think Kuzma's really done anything where it's like he's a bad teammate or anything like that. Like I felt like once Bron got there and all that, like he kind of played into his role and was a solid part in them winning a ring and all that.
Yeah, with the Lakers, he averaged 15 a night, 15, 5.5, and 2. Then he goes to Washington for the 21-22 season, and he's averaged 27.5 and 4.
I think people look at Kuzma, like he said things before too, like I want to go to Washington and try to lead them and stuff like that. And people probably see like him in the rumors, like, well, you've had opportunities to maybe sign with other teams and go win a ring. And people see that maybe as like he's not, winning isn't his number one thing, maybe.
Okay. That's
maybe
fair.
That's how they see it.
I think so. To answer the question, I think that's kind of the, I think that to me is the best case scenario for the Kings.
Yeah.
If they use the pick, I think they're on worst case scenario watch.
Yeah, if they use the pick, I think there's gonna be a lot of unhappy fans that night.
Yeah, because there's not a player that they could go get that I think people would be like, wow, yeah, like consensus, right? Uh-huh. Like, yes, this is the guy. Oh my God, can't believe they got him. I could get some people who are like, yeah, fired up, new player, love it. And then you get the people who are like, doesn't really help. It's not Kyle Kuzma, who got traded for X, Y, and Z.
Well, how much is a rookie? That's not Keegan Murray either. You're not drafting the number four pick.
At least, probably not.
Yeah. So like, how much is they really going to help this year?
I don't know.
At least the first couple years.
I don't know. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Right. Don, you're on the Insiders with Kyle and Jesse. What's up?
Good morning, Kyle and Jesse. Big E.
What up, Big E?
Call screener sucks, Kyle.
He does.
On the night of the Malik Monk signing, my buddy texted me, and as a long life Kings fan, I read the text, Malik Monk sighting, and I was like, oh no, where is he, Philly, like Orlando? And then I looked at it again, and it said signing, and I was like, what? And then 2 minutes later, the Woj bomb dropped, and I was at my night job, and I didn't care. I shouted for joy. I was so happy.
That's awesome.
And then, with LaVine, once we signed Monk, I was like, there's no reason we should pay our third best player the most amount of money. That's all I got to say on LaVine.
No doubt.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Don. Appreciate it. Biggie, I guess.
Yeah, shout out.
If you want to call, if you want to call the show, by the way, it's just going to ring until we're able to get to you. So have some patience. 916-909-1329, 916-909-1320 if you want to join the show.
Real quick, Chester in the Chester Jackson in the chat throws in, who's the guy who's not available that we think is the perfect fit for the Kings? That guy would be Mikal Bridges. He's not available,
who's
I don't think.
Not available?
Yeah, I don't think Mikal Bridges is available, but like...
So like any player in the NBA?
I guess. Like that's the first thing that came up to me, because I feel like Mikal Bridges has come up so much as far as like Kings fans talking and stuff like that. Like if they could get that guy, that'd be the one, but like I don't think for some reason...
I think
reason,
it's Jason Brooklyn. Tatum.
Well, that's fair. Maybe Giannis. Play with the big. Go with the big, Kyle.
Yeah, of the players who could like...
Realistically.
Like conceivably come available where... Hey, the Nets decide to pull the plug on whatever it is they're doing. Yeah, I think Mikal Bridges is the guy.
That's the one. Like even over Kuzma and Ingram, like he'd be.
Yeah, because he's a overqualified like third option at that point. Maybe even probably third option at that point.
Yeah. I'm not sure what Brooklyn's doing. Those guys are dysfunctional.
Brooklyn's weird. There's a lot. There are so many teams this year where I have no feel for what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Like, what is Brooklyn doing? What are the Cavs doing?
Cavs are at a bit of a crossroads.
What are the Hawks doing? I have no idea. What are the Spurs doing? We'll talk about this in a bit. I got a bunch of teams that I'm looking at this year and this offseason. Just don't know. Yeah. I got nothing.
We're going to figure it out later.
Yeah, we better. 916-909-1320. Don, you're on the Insiders with Jesse and Kyle. What's up?
Hey, this is Fred. I'm Zabo's uncle.
Zabo's whole family calling in this tight. What's up, Fred?
So I have a question. I'm a little under the weather. Sorry.
It's okay.
I have a question. So if they have to draft somebody, if the Kings like are at the point where they're still not in a deal mode, do you think they need to go? Do you think that they need to go big, or do you think that they still need to look at like maybe a small forward or get a little bit more size for now?
Perfect. Thanks, Fred. Appreciate the call. Now I think if the Kings are drafting a player, it has to be that player that we're talking about, a wing,
yeah,
size. I don't necessarily want to say defensive minded, but plays defense
but also like shoot the ball too.
Yeah,
that's the biggest thing for me.
If you're drafting a player, you're hoping it's what you said earlier.
Yeah.
You're hoping that player can give you like 12 minutes a night and be playable in the playoffs. And like that's...
Yeah, because I don't think you can draft a guy who's like, oh, he's great on defense, but his offense is just not there right now. Like, we can't do that right now.
Yeah, but also at the same time, you can't draft a guy who's a turnstile because that guy's just not going to play.
Yeah.
And I know that this is not... I agree with Kenny. You can't ignore offense. You can't say, hey, De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis have got this. Let's put three dudes out there who are just non... Like, it can't be that. You have to put the ball in the hoop. That's the point of the game. We can talk about all the different aspects, and there's passing and rebounding and defense and all that, but the point of the sport is to put the ball in the hoop.
Yeah. I feel like it's easier to work around a guy right in the league right now too, who can't play defense but can put the ball in the hoop, rather than a guy who's just Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah, and so much of defense is just trying. Like, does this guy try on defense, yes or no? And that's kind of it.
Yeah.
But I think you can't be a turnstile, but you have to be able to shoot it a little.
Yeah.
And the problem is while I agree with Kenny that, you need guys who can put the ball in the hoop, I don't think Mike Brown is going to play somebody who's not going to be a factor defensively.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, point out Kevin Huerter, we always do. Like, he was already looking at Kevin Huerter before the season even started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was all defensive-based.
Uh-huh.
Huerter had his struggles shooting it this year, but I don't think there's anybody in the league who's worried about whether Kevin Huerter can shoot or not.
Yeah, no.
Is all defensive based, and that would be I think if they're drafting a player, I think you're looking at a big wing who at least tries defensively and can knock down a three.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, but again, I'm still of the mind there.
Yeah, shout out to Zabo's family for calling in.
Yeah, this is great. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's up? Hey, Don. Yes, Don, you're on with Kyle and Jesse. What's up?
Oh, I didn't get to Don, but this is Steven. What's up, y'all?
Oh, hey, sorry, Steven. Our call screener stinks. What do you got?
Hey, so I'm kind of in agreement with I think the consensus is what it sounds like to me, that Kyle Kuzma probably is our best option.
Mm-hmm.
The way I feel like it's going is that we're at a big disadvantage from the sense that we have the 13th pick, which has to be a part of the deal, and we can't make the trade until after we select a player.
Mm-hmm.
It gives somebody, another team in the top 12, an opportunity to just, you know, basically leapfrog us and do that. And that's kind of what it's felt like has happened to the Kings in a lot of scenarios, where you always hear us in the rumor mill,
mm-hmm.
but we're always so they're taking somebody else's offer. So what do you guys think about a scenario where we offer two first-round picks and we get back Washington's, I think, either 21st or 26th pick in the draft as well, to kind of sweeten our deal to the point where we can actually land Kuzma? Because I think it's almost so obvious that it makes me doubt it's going to happen. You know, Kuzma's fit, contract, and everything else, that he would really help the squad and give us that scoring punch and, like, you know, kind of size length that we need at the four position.
Sure. Thanks, Steven. Appreciate the call.
I get Steven's point about, like, teams like a heady that could trade, but, like, I'm looking at the draft order right now. Like, Houston's not trading for Kuzma, San Antonio, Detroit, Charlotte, Portland, San Antonio again. Memphis is, like, the first team that maybe they get the ninth pick, but I don't think that's what they're doing. I don't think you're trading the ninth pick for Kyle Kuzma. You got Utah after that, Chicago and Oklahoma City, then you get to the Kings. Like, are any of those teams, like, really in on Kyle Kuzma, you think? Like, maybe.
I mean,
Oklahoma City needs another center. Like, they need another big. Chicago's not going to do that. Maybe Utah, but
Chicago might.
That's true. Yeah, Chicago doesn't know what they're doing, so they might.
But I don't. And that's the thing is Chicago's another team. And when we talk about, I don't know what their plan is.
Mm-hmm.
Are they looking at Coby White and Zach LaVine and going, yeah, hey, Kyle Kuzma would be a great fit with this duo?
You're saying it out loud. They might.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Is Memphis going, hey, if Ja is, you know, going to have a setback with his shoulder, maybe he's not fully healthy right away, can Kyle Kuzma carry that offensive load until Ja is fully healthy? Desmond Bane has had some back stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is good insurance. I could see that for sure. But also, this is the problem with the Kings missing the playoffs this year, is they don't have the ability to just trade their picks.
Yeah, the picks are tied up.
So everything they would do would have to have like this asterisk where, yeah, hey, it may not convey this year, but the year after that, it could become. So I don't know. I don't.
Like, going off Stephen's call, yeah, I don't think you should be too worried about it.
No.
I think the Kings will be fine.
I think the Kings have enough assets that if they have identified Kyle Kuzma as the guy.
Yeah. I also say, I think the deal breaker, like, I wouldn't give up two first round picks for Kuzma.
No, I don't think.
I feel like that'd be a little too much. That'd be overpaying, I think. I don't think you're going to need to do that for him.
And this is a little bit on the fly, so I don't have rosters in front of me. But I also don't know if the Kings can send over a pick and expiring contracts for Kuzma. I don't know what the Grizzlies and Bulls have in the way of that that would make it enticing for Washington.
Yeah.
Because Washington, at some point, you have to like pull the plug and say, hey, this isn't Kyle Kuzma is no longer on our timeline. Kyle Kuzma's 28.
Yeah.
Maybe Jordan Poole can be on your timeline still because you're paying him and he's on the team and people probably don't want his contract right now. Mm. So maybe you could talk yourself into that. But I feel like you have to move Kyle Kuzma for something. And if you can do that for a first-round pick this year with expiring contracts,
That's easy, I feel like.
If you're
Washington, you have to, not you have to, but like, you're probably going to punt the next couple years.
Yeah. Did you see they brought in Troy Weaver?
Yeah.
Detroit's former GM?
Just hiring winners.
I don't know.
This is why these same teams at the bottom right there are always just stuck in that little cycle. It's Detroit.
It's
like
insane.
The Wizards and all. This is why you guys don't do anything. Like Detroit just fired their coach a week out from the draft.
It's insane.
And all that.
I don't understand it. I don't understand what they're doing. Don, I see you on the line. Hang in there. We have to hit a break. We will get to your calls when we get back. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. There is an NBA draft pick who I am out on. An NBA draft prospect, I should say, who I am 100% out on. And his name was mentioned as a possible pick for the Kings.
Oh, wow.
We'll tell you who it is next. That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. Second hour coming up on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.